Hi, and welcome to our first episode of Narrative Oxford, a podcast which investigates the people and places of Oxford, both town and gown, past and present, serious and fun. I'm Phoebe, I'm a third-year undergraduate at Brasenose College, and one of the producers of the Oxford Narrative team. And the topic of this week's episode is Freshers' Week. So as one of the oldest universities in the world, a quick Google tells me that it is in fact the second oldest, Oxford is surrounded by countless history as well as, well, mystery. The media in particular love to paint a picture of Oxford in a certain way. Quirky traditions, underground drinking societies, eccentric tutors, cobbled streets. It's no wonder that everyone joins with their own preconceptions and expectations of the type of people that come here and the general goings-on of the university. I have kind of experienced this firsthand. In particular, when people ask me which uni I go to, say when I'm at the hairdresser's or meeting a new family friend, their reaction is always some kind of mixture between curiosity and wariness. I ask things like, are the people there really weird? Are there rebellious underground societies full of Tories to be? And is it just like Hogwarts? I find myself constantly defending the normality of, well, most of the people that I've met here, although I do admit that I had kind of similar preconceptions before I started my degree. But what is it actually like? What do people think of their first experiences here? And what advice would they give their younger selves if they were to experience it all again? We wanted to ask students, both undergrads and postgrads, about their first experiences and impressions of Oxford, and how these have changed since they've been here. You'll be hearing the voices of our guests, Matteo Crocci, Ian Roper, Kiva Rooney, Jess Williams, Eve Carter, Ellen Roberts, Emma Woodhouse, Danny Ball, and Izzy Phillips. I'll finish by talking about my own fresher experience and the small crumbs of wisdom that I've picked up over the past 2 years. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
So I was very excited, I remember. I kind of was thinking about all the stereotypical description that you hear about Oxford, like, for example, the Harry Potter-related sort of things. And I remember I was in Paddington Station in London, taking a train to Oxford, and I was like, oh, this is the train to Hogwarts or something like that. And I've actually kind of realized that all these things that I had in my mind, all these conceptions of how Oxford was actually mainly wrong. So I remember when I arrived in my accommodation last year. It was up in Summertown, and I came across the first person I came across was wearing a suit, and I was like, oh, damn! Like, we're in Oxford, everyone here is wearing suits. Like, yes, why didn't I think about this? Do we have enough suits for this? And I did not have enough suits for that. Then I remember I went to the supermarket because I needed to buy stuff for the new house. And I didn't know how the buses work, so I walked all the way from Summertown to the city centre, although there are like four different stores in Summertown. But I still decided, let's go to the city centre so that I will see. And I didn't have a phone, and I felt lost without it. And then I went to Sainsbury and I got a lot of stuff. And then I suddenly realized, shit, I have 14 different bags now and I need to walk back home, and it's like 40 minutes on foot. It was not a smart move to make. And then I think second impression was the department, which was totally the opposite of what I was thinking about, which is the Mathematical Institute is very modern. I was expecting like a very old castle or something like that. And when I started, I think it was the first introductory course, I was sitting close to one of my old course mates, and I didn't know back then if I'd been the best in the course for that year. And I remember working on this problem, and I was mainly like writing a solution because I was the one that it was a couple teamwork. It was a teamwork assignment, and I was writing, so I could just see what I was doing, but could not actually write himself. I think it's more difficult to work in that situation, but I would still like understand everything I was doing and actually like suggesting, which I thought was very hard, not being yourself the person who was doing it. And it's like, damn it, everyone here is so smart, there's gonna be a problem. Oh, and again, I found out later that the first person I met when I arrived here in Oxford, the person who was wearing a suit, actually is someone who's a bit eccentric, so I always wear suits around, and then the guy that was sitting close to me in the first lecture I've ever had was actually the best in my course, and it was not like that everyone was like that, it was just by far the best in the course, so I thought I saw what I wanted to see.
I was quite overwhelmed. There were lots of people with lots of cases and lots of friendly people that were sort of crowding around trying to take my case to my room. And I was just like quite overwhelmed by the number of people and how friendly everyone seemed. Freshers week. I just remember meeting lots of new people and forgetting their names almost straight away and feeling very bad about it. I remember we went out a lot and we had a ceilidh. The ceilidh, that was really good. Is that what it's called, ceilidh? Yeah, it was like a weird Scottish dance thing, and everyone got very drunk and danced around, and it was really, really fun.
My sister went to Cambridge, and she always, when I was applying for unis in undergrad, she basically just told me, it's just another university. Everyone she'd talked to had been basically the same as her. She didn't feel like she was some elite person. And she felt that when she went to interviews at some places and then Cambridge, it was exactly the same. So I kind of went in with that expectation of everybody puts this university on a pedestal, but actually at the end of the day, it's just another university. So I kind of didn't have this shining light expectation that everyone else has.
Another thing, and then similar example, like first night when I went out with my college, we went to Freud's. It's a sort of club cocktail bar in an old church, and it's very like picturesque, it's a very nice place. And I thought, oh, like here there are no like standard clubs, there are like old churches and like temples and stuff like that. And then like slowly, as the time passed by, like I kind of realized that everything, no, actually is pretty normal, apart from the fancy buildings.
So I came here for an open day and two interviews on the year before I came here. So I kind of knew what kind of city it was, but I knew it was very ornate and it was quite a small, not going to be very busy kind of place, which I kind of enjoyed because I don't like London, don't like Birmingham, don't like Manchester. They're all too busy and loud. So I was looking forward to having a nice small city to kind of, that's very, well, relatively peaceful. I thought it was going to be a lot quieter and a lot more work-driven than my previous university experiences. Talking to the professors at the open days, I thought they were quite friendly and not sort of what I was... I guess before I came to the open days, I had this image of them being kind of shy, always looking at their shoes, the classic mathematician sort of academic. But everyone's so nice and they give you... You can have proper conversations and they treat you like an actual adult here, which is quite nice. Student-wise, though, I thought there would be a lot of stuck-up people, for want of a better phrase, who were always used to kind of achieving lots and never got turned down from anything. And I haven't met many of them. I guess I haven't really met any of them that are particularly bad. I'd say a good 99% of people I met are very, very nice and very humble, actually. There's nobody that stuck up, so it's nice.
Yeah, maybe people are a bit like quicker with their mind and with their brain than other people on average, I don't know, but everyone is pretty normal. So it's... most of the first impressions were actually wrong. It was actually fun to realize that I was wrong.
I was scared because I thought everyone was going to be really smart and abnormal. And especially in maths, where people can be known to be quite antisocial. But when I arrived, people were a lot more normal and down to earth than I had envisioned. And particularly within the Maths Institute, there's a lot more social interaction and an emphasis on making sure everyone settled in that was a pleasant surprise?
I think for me, I think the main thing I was so worried about is it being such a huge university. I was worried that it would be difficult to sort of quickly make close connections and find a group. But I think for me, especially during my first year, I got on really well with everyone in my college and spent a lot of time doing college activities. So that was, I think, a pleasant surprise for me that there was already kind of that social construct in place. I think there's usually some sort of graduate freshers introduction dinner, which is sort of a classic Oxford formal dinner. So I think that's probably a good intro to Oxford life because there's always lots of formal dinners.
And then matriculation as well, being like a stereotypical wearing strange outfits and doing weird ceremony things that was very Oxford-like. Yeah. I think I would find it exhausting if I had to do it all the time because it is quite an interesting concept when you're not used to it. But I think if it comes in small doses, you can just treat it as a bit of a novelty and pretend you're in Hogwarts or something.
Yeah, exactly. I think you just really have to embrace it as part of the Oxford life. And I think it is, especially like you said, it usually happens in quite small doses. Like the amount of times you have to actually dress up in the full sunfusk.
At least for postgraduates.
Exactly, at least for postgraduates. Yeah. It's not that much. Because undergraduates, I suppose, they have to take exams.
Yeah, and they have sub-fusk. To do it a bit. Did you have to wear sunfusk for your master's exams?
I actually didn't, no. Okay. I do have to say, because in some ways, I thought at first I was like, oh, this is such a relief, I don't have to wear the sub-fusk. But in some ways, I think it is quite it makes it more of an experience, everyone dressing up in their sub-fusk. And then, of course, there's the whole people get trashed afterwards where they get thrown confetti over them or champagne or whatever. And I think it is quite nice because it sort of heightens the exams in a way which I guess could be bad or could be good. In some ways, it probably makes the whole experience a bit more stressful. It was more relaxed to be able to wear our own clothes. But at the same time, I do understand why Oxford students voted to keep that tradition, because it's quite a nice thing. It's unique to Oxford culture.
My first impression was I sat down on the grass. It was like a first sort of mini tutor. He was giving us our first essay, and I didn't understand what half the words in the essay title meant. And I got very confused, and like I just looked around and tried to ask people, you know, what the hell's he on about, and no one seemed to have a clue. And but obviously now, like, you get that every week, and I'm really used to it, and it's quite fun learning loads of new stuff. But at first, it was just really weird. So if you don't get that at school, you always learn stuff at school, and then you get an essay. But here, it's sort of the other way around.
So I did my undergrad at Nottingham, University of Nottingham, and I guess the main difference is that this is a city uni, whereas that was a campus uni. However, this city is so small that it sort of feels like the whole city is the campus. But in Nottingham, you could kind of escape student life quite easily if you walked into town. It's quite a large city that's not driven by the university like Oxford is. So if I wanted to come back to the real world, I could get off campus, go into the city, and it would just feel like normal life, not like university life. Whereas here, you're constantly reminded that you're at university. There's colleges everywhere, there's department buildings everywhere, and you can't really escape it. It's kind of this Oxford bubble.
For me, because I did my undergraduate at UCLA in California, which is probably different on all levels. I think the one thing that the two universities have in common is they're both massive institutions. But UCLA is just a completely different lifestyle. I think one thing is that UCLA was very much a campus university and everything took place on campus. Whereas Oxford, the fact that it's integrated throughout the city, I think that just gives a completely different environment, because you feel like you're not so much in a bubble. As a student, you have access to what's going on in the outside world.
Mm. Yeah. I think I did my undergraduate in Trinity College in Dublin, and it's a much smaller university, and particularly in maths, there was only about 24 of us. Whereas in Oxford, what, there's hundreds of undergrads in maths. So I think, yeah, it's different. I was coming from a small university to a big university, smaller. I think Oxford do a really good job of trying to make you settle in and help you settle in, and having support systems and different activities you can get involved in as a fresher, other than just like getting drunk, which is what they did in Dublin. So it was a different welcoming experience.
I would totally agree with that. And I think part of it maybe has to do with the college system as well. I know for us, our course has been very good at having activities for us to get involved with. But when I joined the MSc, which was a sort of bigger class, I really liked having my college there as well, just because that created a really welcoming atmosphere. So I think even though Oxford is such a big institution, as you said, it's really good at breaking it down into smaller subgroups.
I've got a few friends from Oxford that went to my school, and we go back and we just complain about the workload a lot, and they're like, yeah, we have one essay a term, and I'm just there like, mate, that's so unfair. So they seem to have too much spare time, actually. Like, someone was saying she'd watched a whole series of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I don't understand how someone has that much spare time, but I think everyone likes it wherever they end up.
Okay, so I can talk about the differences with... So I've done my undergraduate in Italy, in Milan. And I've been for half a year on exchange program in University of Maryland, College Park, in the United States. And I can compare Oxford with both the two universities, I guess, if that's relevant. I start with Italy. So in the university structure in Milan is that... tuition fees are way lower, unless you go to a private university, but generally with 1 year in Oxford, you can afford the whole undergrad in Italy, which is not bad, but you get what you pay for, in the sense that in Italy, like universities, like mainly you go there to attend lectures and to sit for exams, and it's not really a place where you go there to socialize. While in Oxford, you have many student societies, and you can just sign up at the beginning of the year, and there are so many that can just get your full email address over filled with emails from all the different clubs if you don't pay attention at the beginning of the year and you sign up to too many clubs. And there are the colleges that organize student life, and there are many things you can do that help you to meet new people when in Milan. If you don't have your friends, you will meet your course mates, but you won't meet anyone else apart from your course mates at the uni, and you need to make your own friendship, and it's not always that easy in a big city such as Milan is. If you're from the US, you say it's a small city, but it doesn't matter, it's big for Italy. And I was born there, so I didn't have this problem, because I already had friends from childhood, but I would expect that to be harder if you are there from abroad. While in the US, it's like it's even probably more than Oxford. You pay way more and you get even way more, and there's still all the societies and still very nice, and can organize your life. Maybe they put more accent on the parties, maybe that's where I was, but I think the university I was in, Maryland, was one of the top 10 party universities in the US the year I was in, so it might be the reason. But in the US system is more similar in this case to the Oxford system for the way the university is structured.
Also, and I'm not sure whether this is changing from undergrad, I'd say it's a lot less wild here. There were people going out clubbing sort of two or three times a week in Nottingham, quite a lot of my friends. Whereas here, you'd be lucky if, for me anyway, that you go maybe two or three times a term. So it's a lot more quiet. But as I say, I'm not sure whether that's me or the place.
Also with the culture, yes. I think the first thing that still shocks me sometimes is the amount, the British politeness, the amount of sorry that you overhear for no reason when you stood on someone's foot and they say sorry, and it's like, well, I should be sorry, not you. Why are you saying sorry? And all these things. But you shortly get used to it, and now I go back to Italy and they say sorry to everyone, and they say, why are you saying sorry? It's like, I don't know. I got used to that. Let's put it this way. I'm kind of like a direct person, so anyway, I think I tend to tell things straight anyway. And it's more like if I sense someone, now I understand when someone is going around things, and so I make sure that he's not able to do that, and I ask him more like straight on, like, tell me what you think about this. So rather than me bending to this sort of going around things, I kind of make other people bend to my goal straight on to the point. It doesn't always work, but I always try to do that. Yeah, of course, you need to do it in a polite way. You cannot just, like, force things out from people, but sometimes it works. If not, I'll be the same, and I know how to do it now, I learned. And that was a problem at the beginning, I think. It was more about me being polite, which is... I wouldn't say I'm not a polite person, it's just I'm polite for Italian standards, and that's not enough for British standards. And I remember this time I was taking a bus, and I asked for a ticket, and I didn't say please, and I paid with a £20 bill, and the guy gave me the change in coins. So I had like 18 quid change in coins. That was awful, just because I didn't say please, and I was like, okay, these things you need to learn.
What is something that you've done in Oxford that you don't think you would have done, whether it's the city or the university?
Come to Norway?
Yeah.
Sent out on a 7-week placement to Kristiansand in Norway. Probably those sort of opportunities being so readily available to students is probably quite characteristic to an institution as developed as Oxford.
Yeah. Something just randomly that comes to mind is this year I went to the May morning celebrations on the 1st of May at 4 a.m. They usually have a choir singing at one of the chapels, and the whole streets come alive. And I didn't do it my first year, and I saw photos afterwards and it looked incredible, so I made sure to do it this year, and it was actually really cool. I think that's quite a unique Oxford experience.
College sports, I love college sports. Football, netball, American football, although I'm not very good at that. In fact, I'm terrible, I don't even know the rules. Dodgeball. Just lots of different things. Whatever comes up that I can do, I try to do. You can be totally rubbish like me and still play lots of different sports and get to meet loads of new people from different subjects and year groups and from other colleges as well, and it's a really good way to sort of relax.
So my first impression was that everyone was actually very normal, and even though we were all from very different backgrounds, we were all in the same position and we didn't know anybody. So that was quite refreshing and made it quite fun to meet people and learn about where they were from and their thoughts. And over the last few years, I feel like through my friends with different backgrounds, I've learned a lot more about the world. And like, one of my friends is vegan, and I've learned a lot about that. My opinions have changed due to what I know.
The college experience is really good. So, again, to contrast with Nottingham, they don't have a college system. So, pretty much all my friends just came from my course. And also playing Ultimate Frisbee, which I played at Nottingham. So I just kind of had these two groups of friends, and I sort of have the same thing here, but then you also have this new group of friends that are from your college. And that's quite useful because you can talk to people about different subjects than your own. So they're not course mates, so I do maths, I'm not always talking about maths. And then when me and my Ultimate Frisbee friends get together, we tend to just talk a lot about Frisbee. So it's quite nice to be able to talk to musicians, historians, philosophers and things like that, things that I've never even sort of opened a book about. And they'll tell you as kind of layman's as they can about their subject, and that's a really good opportunity to have.
I don't know if I can talk about this as well, because it's also related to my second year. I kind of noticed the difference between new colleges and old colleges, because now I'm in an old college, which is uni, where last year I was in a modern one. And I thought, like, on one end, like, new colleges don't have the fancy buildings and stuff like that. But generally, I also have more people, and people are very nice there as well. And I don't think there's, like, any reason to... Like, when you apply, you say, oh, which college should I choose? I need to get a cool college, like a fancy college, an old college, or something like that. It doesn't really matter. Like, it depends a lot on the people there, and, like, found out that in both colleges, like, come across a lot of, like, nice friends. And they, in both cases, they were, like, the committees of the graduates, so, like, the MCR committees were very good in organizing these events where everyone could meet up with everyone else, and, like, in, I think, fairly short time, I actually knew like 40 of my college mates within a week, which is quite astonishing. And then I had a great year with with them, like both this year and last year. You can find, like, you have an amazing time independent of the college. So like your college will be part of your life in Oxford, but it's not that there are like, now people might disagree with this, but it's not, I don't think there are like better or worse colleges. Like each college's things, and it's, I have other friends that have been changing college every year because they've gone through different courses and they've been happy no matter what the college they've been to. So it's really like, it is something which is very important, because actually that will determine your life in Oxford most of the times, because that's the one of the main ways through which you can actually meet people and do things. But it's, it is important, but at the same time, it is not which one you go to. It's important to have one, but you will have it.
I love my college. St. Anne's is really social, and it's not one of the old fancy ones, which I think in some ways makes it a bit easier to integrate into, because there's not any of these really old traditions, or we don't have to wear gowns or anything to dinner, which I know other couple colleges do, so it makes it more normal. And the MCR in particular is really good at organising loads of activities, and food's really good, so you actually want to eat there.
Yeah, I think my main reason for going to college this year was just for meals, because I didn't have a huge amount of time to get involved in much else. But yeah, the food at Mansfield is really good, so I've enjoyed that. And when I was at St. Peter's the year before, I was more involved in college activities there, and there was lots going on in the MCR, which I really enjoyed. And I'm actually, this next year, I'm hoping to get more involved in Mansfield activities.
Bye.
By running for vice president, which has become sort of being president, because there's no president at the moment.
Oh.
But so that's a bit of a dramatic shift from being not very involved at all to
being
running the entire MCR. Mm-hmm. No big deal.
Yeah. So Mansfield's about to get great.
Yeah.
MCR is going
to watch this space.
Buzzing, yeah.
That space, Mansfield. Yeah. Well, I think it really was, I just wanted to get more involved in college. And I know when I was at St. Peter's, I was part of the MCR committee, and I really enjoyed that, planning events and sort of, and then I know how important it is to have a welcoming committee there. So I wanted to help create that atmosphere to new incoming students. And vice president, there were not many other positions open, and I thought, well, I don't want to go all the way and run for president, because that sounds like a lot, so I'll run for vice president. And then no one ran for president, so we'll see how that goes.
President by default.
Exactly.
Basically, when you arrive, you get given a college parent that does the same subject as you. So for me, I've got a mother called Izzy, and she does E&M, which is what I study. And then she's married to someone else in her year who's a mathematician. And so I've got some mathematician brothers who are sort of his kids, if that makes sense. So we're a nice little family, and it's really good. Like, I'm best mates with one of my brothers, so that's really good. And now I've got some kids coming in, and I think they all got in, because we didn't get told they didn't. So basically, when they arrive, we just become friends with them, help them settle in, help them with any problems they've got, and make sure they have an amazing time. That's the plan. I've had some really, really good family experiences, actually. I really like my college family. Family meal in Freshers' Week, that means college family. I got so confused when I first saw that on the timetable. I was like, why are my family coming down to see me in Freshers? I was so confused by that. But no, that was just really good. We played loads of party games and ate pizza, from what I remember, and met loads of second years. It's a really good way to get to know people through the college family system. And yeah, and it's also really good to have someone to talk to who's like not like necessarily a peer supporter or welfare officer or nurse or something. So I speak to my college mother quite a lot, and she's really nice.
I would say don't worry if it all seems very overwhelming, because there are just so many little Oxford traditions and terms that people use and act as if they're completely normal and everyone else should know, and it will just take time and you'll get to learn everything and understand what everything means. So I think just don't worry if it all seems overwhelming and completely unfamiliar, because it very quickly you start to understand the Oxford terminology and get used to Oxford life. And
just get involved with as many things as possible. because everybody who's new is in the same boat and they all want to make friends and they all want to participate in these things. And quite often you'll find that other people are just as nervous as you, and as soon as you chat to them and as soon as you kind of involve yourself, you find everything becomes so much easier.
Yeah, and I think also just basically reiterating what you said, take advantage of all the opportunities that are given to you as a new student, where it be events organized by college or by your department in your course.
Yeah,
and yeah, just
free dinners.
Exactly. Yeah.
Probably don't worry about making like best friends for life straight away. Like, I didn't find my friendship group until fifth week. Like, I had friends, but they weren't like a solid friendship group, and I was really stressed about that. But now I realise that that's the same for everybody, because obviously you can't make lifelong friends in like 10 seconds.
It would probably be that if you make a mistake or you say something really embarrassing or whatever, you don't need to beat yourself up about it, because you have 3 whole years to make a better impression. So I was really worried about making sure I came across as clever enough to my tutors and things like that. But you have 3 years to impress them, so just take it easy and relax.
I haven't actually been on an exchange dinner, but from what I've heard, you do actually meet people, and it's kind of a great way to kind of expand your friend group. But yeah, there's not really... you need that one thing in common between the college, between the colleges, to actually meet new people. And there's no other way you're going to... Well, there's no other way that I've found that I kind of interact with other colleges that much. BOPs are quite good, actually. So I've had a few joint BOPs where I've met some people. So St. Anne's and St. Anthony's do quite a few joint BOPs. So I know a few people from St. Anthony's.
So like, there are three main ways through which you can actually meet people in Oxford, which is your college, your department, and there was a third one, which I forgot. Oh yes, your flatmates. So at the beginning of the year, probably be living... If you're a fresher, you'll probably be living in college accommodation. You'll have some flatmates, you have some neighbors from maybe your own college, maybe not, but still, like, people. It's very important to, I think, use these three ways as best to, like, expand your, like, social sphere. And because through these people, then you can meet new people, and it's very nice when you start knowing people from different colleges, and which do maybe different subjects than yours. And it's the good thing about these universities that, like, in Italy, where you only do one subject, so you have to cut this, but I mean, when you just do one subject in here in Oxford, you have all the faculties, so all the subjects, you can meet people that don't do just what you do, and that's great, and you should go there. I don't really want to advertise any place, you know, so it could sound like I'm doing, it look like an advertisement, but I will just say, like, clubs are not great in Oxford, sorry for that, but
like
I'm not saying, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go. I say you probably end up there many, many times, but they're generally probably not as nice as they would be some other places, like London. Pubs are very nice, they're all very historical, some are hide, like, stories from, like, writers and such as, like, Tolkien, stuff like that. And societies, I don't want to recommend any societies. There are many, just follow what you like to do and see where your interests lie and try to see. Well, there will definitely be a society that matches your interest. Don't sign up to too many societies, because then you'll have to sign off to all of them. So just go there with an open mind, don't get tricked into... Signing into. Sorry, I'm talking about the Freshers' Fair, which is at the beginning of the year, where all the societies have stands and they present themselves. Pick your ones. It's good to do a sport. Like, you just don't want to study all the time. There are many, like, just so many societies. You'll definitely find something that you like. You need to really. It's like maybe like diving from a high. How do you say, from a high cliff, for example, like. Once you do it, you're there. So once you jump, you're there. There's nothing you can do. You have to do it. So it's something, even if you're shy, you should, like, yes, try to attend these exchange events. And these are more for graduates. I don't know if undergraduates do it. I don't know anything. So, but it's a good way to meet people from different colleges. And once you're there and you sign up, they'll talk to you, even if you don't talk to them. So it's like, it's one of the ways. Like, through your, like, everyone will... of your friends will be in contact with other people, so through your friends you can also meet people from other colleges, and from your department you can meet people from other colleges. And sometimes it's good like to have a lot of friends in one college which is not yours, just because then you feel home in more colleges and not just yours. Then it's annoying because if you're alone and not with your friends, the porter will still kick you out probably, but yes, that's the way. Yes, there are events like exchange dinners, exchange tasting events, joint events, joint bops. You can go to bops, which are like parties organized by colleges, and then that's like another good opportunity to meet people from different colleges, because everyone goes there, at least for first year.
Where's good to go in Oxford, like favourite pubs, favourite shops, I don't know.
Pubs. I like Bookbinder's Pub. It does a good pub quiz.
That's the French one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. French themed
pub,
yeah.
And the White Rabbit does really good pizzas. Raoul's does good cocktails.
What's the name of that pub down that small street that it's not a very good descriptor? Do you know that if you're going towards Mansfield and you go down a street and then there's a little road off to the right that goes down?
Oh, yes. Does it begin with a H?
No, I don't think so. anyway, there's a small pub down one street that's really good.
I feel like this is a very typical Oxford conversation. It's like, oh, there's a great place and it was this vague location.
Exactly.
I forget the name.
But considering Oxford is not very big, there's a surprising number
of
pubs.
There's a lot of pubs. What's the name of that little cafe? Vault Gardens or something?
Oh, the Vaults and Gardens,
Vaults and Gardens, and it's beside the Radcliffe Camera.
That's beautiful.
And it's a really nice cafe. It does nice teas and cakes.
That's so nice. It's going to be bothering me now. Sorry that I can't remember this pub.
Okay, so in your 2 years of accumulated knowledge of the town, what would you say is your best find, or where would you recommend someone, a fresher, to go in their first few weeks?
My best find was Alpha Bar in the Covered Market, because it has lots of like delicious salads, and to be honest, in Oxford it's not the best place for kind of like healthy, mainly like veggie food, and Alpha Bar is just a really good place to go for lunch. If you want something really filling and really hearty that kind of just keeps you full for a long time and you feel really good of it, it's like a good place to go. And a lot of people actually didn't find out about it for months in and really regretted it, but I was lucky I found it really early on, and I've been a steady customer since then. So yeah, that's probably what I'd recommend.
It doesn't matter if you don't make about 100 friends on your first week. Don't try and make friends just because they sort of live near you. Obviously be friendly, but if they're genuinely not the kind of people that you enjoy having around, don't just put up with them and make them your friends just because they're the first person you find. You will always find better friends. So I didn't personally get on with people that I lived with in first year. I lived with some course mates and then some ultimate frisbee friends. And now we're friends that I hope for life, because these are the people that I actually enjoyed the company of. I kind of felt in Oxford that sort of the same thing, but there was everyone's a lot more like-minded here, I find. But it might be that we're all post-grads and we're all sort of here mainly to work, and I don't know, maybe the people are just more similar here, or maybe I'm more tolerant. advice I would give, so that's something I wish I had told myself back then. What I did do, and what advice I give to other people, is make sure you do as much as you can outside of work. Oxford, it's very difficult because for some strange reason they still use 8-week terms. I really don't know why. So you have to cram all your work in. However, especially in your first year, it is the best sort of 3 or 4 years of your life. Make sure you do other things. Go out, join societies, play ultimate frisbee. Do what you love, or do something completely different and then grow to love that. I only started ultimate at uni, and now I'm in just finished my 5th year of playing. So I've loved that, and I learned to do it at uni, and I would have only have done that if I kind of got involved. So yeah, do it sounds like a cliche, but do as much as you can, basically, and put work on the second step in your first year at least.
Everything becomes normal surprisingly quick.
Yeah,
right? You suddenly think Oxford is the strangest place, all these random traditions, and the next thing you're you find yourself at a formal dinner wearing ridiculously fancy dresses on a Wednesday evening, and it's not weird.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so true. And you find yourself casually discussing Oxford terminology without thinking it's strange.
And everybody loves their subject, which I really like. Everyone's just passionate about what they're doing, so you have really interesting conversations.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a really good point as well, in that you can talk to lots of other people from different disciplines because of your college system. Yeah, because I think as a postgraduate at other universities, oftentimes you might just get stuck with people who do your same subject because there aren't really so many opportunities to meet other people. But the good thing about Oxford and having a college is that you meet people who are in completely different subjects, and you get to talk about people doing random, really interesting things.
But then you should also make friends with people from different colleges so you can go to those colleges for dinner.
That's such a good point. Yeah.
And their balls. Ooh, go to balls.
Yes.
That was one thing that actually wasn't recommended to us, but we're so glad we did.
Yeah.
Because they are quite expensive. But if you can close your eyes and just pay for it, it's absolutely worth it.
I think so too. And especially because there's some of the smaller colleges put on balls, but I think it is worth going to the really fancy
just
college
paying
balls.
A bit extra.
Exactly.
Because they just have unlimited food and sweets and drinks and music and chocolate fountains. And
that's another, talking about like unique to Oxford things.
Yeah. And they're so casual, and that all these, so there'll be, 20 different balls happening, and then the next thing you cross the doors into this, and it's the most ridiculous, extravagant, you have no idea why everyone's being so blasé about it.
Exactly. And also bops, I guess.
Oh yeah, bops are fun.
Yeah, colleges put on bops, which is sort of just like college parties, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, and don't be deceived by the word bop.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what that meant.
Why is bop capitalised?
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know why.
It's another Oxford thing. It's a party.
Yeah.
It'll be music. It's fun.
Exactly.
For moving away, it's scary to start with, especially if it's the first time away. Luckily, I had kind of 4 years' experience in Nottingham, where I moved away. So it might be better, actually, if I talk about my experience there. When I moved to Nottingham in my first year, I was like really scared. I used to always forget everything when I was at home, and then it would always be my parents that were telling me, you have this to do today, and I thought I was just going to fail at life because I wouldn't have these people around me. But you very quickly learn to adapt, and you have your own ways, so using like your phone to remind you of things and writing stuff on your hands and things like that, you just kind of adapt, and you get this great sense of independence, of having to do everything on your own, which starts out scary, but then once you do it, you realise that it's not difficult, it's not hard, and you don't know why you haven't been doing it since you were like 15, 14. So, I'd say it's really a good experience to come away from home and try and do stuff for yourself.
I think one of the main things I've learned is that it's about what you do in terms of what you feel comfortable with in a number of different situations, be they academic or not. Like, if everyone else is going out and you don't feel like it that night, you don't have to. Or if everyone else is working till 2 and you feel like you should be doing that, that's not always the case. Like, you should do things on your own terms and do what you're comfortable with, and not compare yourself to other people, I think, is one of the most important things. Like, obviously, having your friends and being part of a group is very, very important, but at the same time, making sure that you're doing what's right for you.
No, it's really good fun. Trying to think if there's anything I forgot to take or anything I wished I'd taken. Some people forgot to take bedding stuff. Make sure you take the basic stuff, because otherwise it's not a great start to the year. You're just there with no bedding. Thank you.
So I thought I'd share kind of my fresher experiences and any advice I'd give and stuff. So to start with, as I'm sure most people would admit, the day before the start of Freshers Week, I was kind of shitting my pants. I was quite nervous, and I don't really know why or what of. It was just, thinking about what people would be like, whether I was smart enough. I've actually heard quite a few people that have had the same experience, where you kind of feel like, I somehow slipped through the net and miraculously got into Oxford, and that at any moment they're going to realise that they've made a massive mistake in letting me in. It's that feeling of being a tiny fish in a huge pond full of geniuses. And I guess after 2 years, I still have that feeling a bit, the small fish thing. But now that I've made it 2 years, I've realised that everyone feels like that naturally, because I guess most people are used to being the big fish in whichever school they went to before getting here. They're suddenly thrust in with people that were also at the top of their school. And the people here are amazing. I know people that speak 4 languages, people that self-taught obscure GCSEs just for the heck of it. There's someone on my course who actually won Young Apprentice. But I think my attitude has changed. I know that even if I got in just by some miracle, that shouldn't stop me from enjoying the ride. And that I've done well on my exam so far, touch wood. So I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing and not feel like I have to compete with everyone, just to justify my place here. Right, so time for trip down memory lane. I'm trying to think back to Freshers Week and the first memory I have. So I just arrived. I think I had arrived a bit later than everyone else, and so I thought I had to take the plunge, introduce myself to the first freshers that I found, to try and, you know, make friends straight away. And so the very first people that I met were in the smoky area. The smoky area happened to be outside of my staircase, so I could hear them talking from my room. So I thought, right, I'll go and make some friends. So there was a guy sat on the bench, and he was chatting in his Hungarian accent to a blue-haired girl. He was chatting about how he showed psychopathic traits, but that he, according to the test that he'd taken, wasn't clinically diagnosable. I think he's saying that his family were diplomats, and also that he'd founded some company or other, which he was now co-running with his business partner, that was also a fresher at Merton College. First impressions going well. I was quite afraid that everyone I was going to meet at Oxford would be a borderline psychopath, destined to be a corporate millionaire. So I was relieved to find some normality when the blue-haired girl invited me to join her in drinking a bottle of wine that I think from a crate that she'd packed from France. So there's some advice for making new friends. Pack the essentials, but bringing either baked goodies or, in this case, alcohol makes a really good icebreaker. Other than that, I don't remember many specifics from the rest of Freshers Week. I don't know if I've blacked out a lot of it or from my memory, or maybe it's just that it passed by in such a blur. All I know is that I somehow survived it. I do remember getting lost in the first few weeks quite a lot, but luckily the other psychologist freshers from my college and I quickly became friends, and we figured out the routes to our department and to tutorials together. So thank you so much, Beth and Ellen. I am eternally grateful. Freshers Week was nowhere near as scary as my nightmares from previous weeks before starting had predicted, luckily. Everyone was just in this super friendly mode, which is great. Everyone wanting to make a good first impression and all. And there was this general vibe of just say yes to everything, whether it was tasting your first G&D's ice cream, even though I don't even like ice cream, or going out for the fourth night in a row, even though by this point, fresher's flu has well and truly kicked in. Actually, on that note, beware, fresher's flu is not a myth. Prepare your immune systems is all I can say. I remember the clubbing was really, truly odd experience. No one had really formed any sort of stable friendship groups at this point. So everyone just danced in a big college cluster. And so now I can see why they told us to wear our matching college labelled fresher t-shirts. So it made it very difficult to lose everyone, or anyone for that matter. That was very, very odd. And clubbing has since gotten slightly better. Freshers Week is also the only time where, especially if you're like me and names just slip through your brain like unsub spaghetti, it's just glorious that it's socially acceptable to ask someone's name again a good 2 or 3 times. And then after that, you probably have to resort to hoping that someone else will mention their name in conversation. That's what I did. Or actually, here's a trick. If all else fails, what I sometimes would do is ask for someone's number and then have them fill it in on my phone. And then if I wasn't sure what their name was, they would write it in. So that was good. Okay, so I'm happy to say that things, I think they got a lot easier after Freshers' Week. As much as I loved Freshers' Week at the time, I think it was very tiring having to meet new people constantly and keep that energy level up. So I've had lots and lots of really great memories from my first year. I'm trying to think of like a select few. I could probably write a whole chapter on my favourite memories from first year, but I'll select just a few to give you an idea. So some of my favourite memories from first year are Brazenose Ball, which was incredible. So a lot of colleges organise a ball in summer, like a May ball kind of thing. Some do it every year, some do it every other year. Brazenose College does it every other year, so we get it in first year and third year. But so our first year ball was Midsummer Night's Dream themed, and it was just so much fun. Yeah, all your friends are in one place, and there are amazing decorations, entertainment, and it's just hours of fun and drunkenness. So that was great. Some other highlights are nights spent at the pubs in Oxford. Our college is right next to the Turf Tavern pub. It's one of the most famous ones here. And for my group of friends, it's probably the pub of choice, apart from maybe Spoons. If you go to the Turf Tavern, I would highly recommend Old Rosie Cider, at your own risk, because it's really strong. Surprisingly, I've also really enjoyed the sporting aspect of university, even though I'm quite famously anti most types of exercise. Actually, I've had some really fun memories of watching sports. Having your own college to support is really, really fun, and watching the rowing whilst drinking Pimm's in the sun was quite nice. Any sport played between colleges is known as cuppers, and even I was drawn in to play cuppers croquet. Croquet is actually taken surprisingly, maybe unsurprisingly, seriously at Oxford, which is very comical to people that don't go here, but you'll understand come Trinity term. And girls football cuppers I've also played in, but it's definitely not taken so seriously, which boded well for me because my skill level at any kind of sport is not great. And finally, watching varsity matches are also really good fun. So those are matches between Oxford and Cambridge. Even though the Oxford-Cambridge rivalry is really not as venomous as people think it is, I really enjoyed watching, so what did I watch? The hockey, the rugby, where we had to take a bus to London. That was good fun. And ski on varsity trip, which is the annual skiing trip. And so in all three of those, I had a friend that was in the Blues team, which made it even better to watch. So yeah, that was really good fun. Finally, I guess if I was to give advice to freshers, probably be to take as many photos as you possibly can. I'm quite biased because I really love photography, but I think everyone in my year wishes they had even more photos than we already do. Not even events where everyone's dressed up, so those usually photographers there taking photos anyway. But just any trips you go on, everyday kind of things, like if you go to G&D's or the rooftop bar, a trip to the pub, just things you do with your friends that are kind of irreplaceable memories and they're really unique to you, as corny as that sounds. Yeah, just take lots of photos. So I think that concludes our Freshers' Week podcast, and I'd like to just say a huge thank you to our guests, our fabulous and enthusiastic production team, and to all of those listening. If you like this and you want to hear more from us in the future, you can visit our Facebook page, Narrative Oxford, or our website, narrativeoxide.com. Feel free to get in touch if you have any questions, feedback, or podcast ideas. We'd love to hear from you.
and stay tuned for the next episode. Bye.